This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. And a note of caution before the next interview. It contains material of an adult nature that may not be appropriate for some of our listeners.
To be frank, it's a conversation about sex.
My own experiences with sex are basically positive. I mean, you know, it's a good thing. It's worth enjoying. And if it's going to be a work of pornography or erotica, it should be something that brings a smile to your face.
That's author Nicholson Baker describing the impulse behind his new novel, House of Holes. The novel's subtitle is A Book of Raunch, and it is very raunchy. Most of what he's written, in fact, we cannot put on the radio.
So why talk about it at all? Well, Nicholson Baker is an acclaimed literary novelist. His books celebrate the universe of stories contained within the most mundane human tasks. Office workers at lunch, a father giving an infant daughter a bottle. He's also written about his idol, John Updike, and in defense of keeping physical books in libraries.
Baker lives in South Berwick, Maine. He is the kind of man who attends town meeting. He looks more than a little like Santa Claus, and he actually blushes when he talks about sex. The Marquis de Sade, he is not. And yet, House of Holes is his third book about sex. As the New York Times put it, Nicholson Baker takes, quote, an Updikean delight in sensuality.
We recently asked him why in an interview that began with Baker reading an excerpt from House of Holes.
Lila was the director of the House of Holes. She was large and pretty in bifocals, about 50, with lots of loose, light brown hair. Pendle told her that he was there about the job in the Rooster. Oh, we filled that position yesterday, said Lila. But just for the heck of it, why don't you give me a sample of your interview technique? I'd probably just say, so tell me what happened. People seem to open up to me. It's been true my whole life. I don't know why exactly. It's your eyebrows, I think, said Lila. I see a forgivingness and a directness there. Now, what if you were a client and I interviewed you? What if I said, be honest, why are you here? I guess I'm here to see women naked, said Pendle.
That's Nicholson Baker reading from his new book, House of Holes. Mr. Baker, I have to admit, that's about as radio-friendly as this book gets in terms of creative use of language. But could you just briefly describe to listeners what exactly the House of Holes is?
The House of Holes is a sort of theme park where they talk to Lila usually, and Lila tries to figure out what would be good for them, what would be fun. I'm not looking deep into these characters' minds. I've written books written in the first person, which I explore all sorts of things, but that's not what this is. This is fast. I want it to be fast and funny and strange. A book that fills your mind with images and with little boy-meets-girl moments that happen quickly, uncoupling and couplings, that there's a kind of excitement and an exuberance to that. I wanted this book to be overflowing with sex.
Well, I was really struck by that because, you know, the House of Holes, as you describe it, it's not a seedy, dank, disgusting kind of place. It's fun, as you said, and in fact, it seems kind of celebratory. The tone of the book is one of, you know, joy and enjoyment. So, I mean, is this a celebration of sex and sexuality that you're writing about?
Well, I'm so glad you took it that way. Yes, if there is a moral to the book, it's that so much of stuff that's thought of as, path-breakingly erotic is actually disturbing. It's anti-sexual. It must be art because it is unerotic. And I thought that was not true of life, that actually sex is a good thing. And it's true that it's difficult to write about it in a fresh way, but it's worth making the attempt because every generation has to reinvent the world that we have, including the sexual world, and understand it.
You know, the language that you use in the book, you know, to describe the male and female anatomy, which listeners, I actually can't read any of it on the air, but, you know, it reminded me how, in a way, sometimes, you know, sports writers are always trying to find new ways of describing the same thing. I mean, is that kind of what you went through? Because sex is actually something that is not infrequently written about.
Yes, and if you're a sports writer, somebody completes a pass, and it's a beautiful touchdown. And what do you say? How do you say that in a new way? That's true. So, yes, part of the pleasure or part of the task of somebody who writes about sex is to invent new words or at least try out new words, because it just feels as if language is inadequate to this thing that is so interesting and so complicated.
Well, I mean, so how did, as a writer, how do you do that? Because, you know, there are many words for copulation. I guess that's one that I can actually use on the radio, some of which are kind of grotesque and rude. But in order to come up with these new phrases for it, I mean, did you just try a bunch out and say, oh, this works in this scene and that doesn't? Was there a board in front of you where you threw up every word possible? How did you do that?
Well, that's a good question. I have this list called Sex Words. It's a file. It's got lots and lots of words, some of them invented, some of them that I found in 18th century books of pornography. But I found that it's very sensitive to the moment of where you are in a seduction. It's crucially important to know where are the two people in their kind of curve of arousal. I mean, sometimes you want to use a kind of Corinthian capital of a word, a strange curly word, and sometimes you want it just to be the word that everybody uses.
Well, I'm speaking with Nicholson Baker. He is the author of many books, the latest of which is House of Holes. You know, we are living in a world already that seems to be overflowing with sex.
Mm-hmm.
Because it sometimes occurs to me that even in our hyper-sexualized world, the internet of all things is not a place for the imagination. And it seems like that's what you're injecting here into House of Holes, this sense of the fantastic, of the subconscious, that sex is still a realm where the imagination is welcome.
Well, the problem with internet porn is that it's not to say that it's bad. It actually is sometimes horrible and sometimes terrific. And it's a huge buffet table of varied things. But a book gets to sort through and guide your visual imagination in certain ways and not overwhelm your visual sense with the specifics of two people's bodies. And when you have a book, they're kind of grappling and dancing and doing their thing in your mind, and there's a little distance. And the distance allows, I hope, for comedy and for dialogue and for surprise that in a way that the internet video doesn't.
Hmm. Well, you know, you've mentioned that you've written other books that deal with sex and sexuality, and they are Fermata and Vox. But I wonder if there's a similarity in terms of maybe spirit in some of your other books as well. And I know you brought one of them with you, and that's The Mezzanine. And this is a book that takes place within the lunch break of an office worker. There's a wonderful little part of a footnote on page 74 that has to do with paper perforations. Could you read that to us?
I would be pleased to. Perforation shouted out, the deliberate punctuated weakening of paper and cardboard, so that it will tear along an intended path, leaving a row of fine-haired white pills or tuftlets on each new edge. It's a staggering conception, showing an age-transforming feel for the unique properties of pulped wood fiber. People watch the news every day like robots, thinking they're learning about their lives, never paying attention to the far more immediate developments that arrive unreported on the Ziploc perforated top of the ice cream carton, in reply coupons bound in magazines, and on the please return this portion edging of bill stubs. The lines dividing one year from another in your past are perforated, and the mental sensation of detaching a period of your life for closer scrutiny resembles the reluctant guided tearing of a perforated seam.
That's Nicholson Baker reading from The Mezzanine, his first book. His latest book is House of Holes. Nicholson Baker, the reason why we asked you to read that particular passage from The Mezzanine is that When I hear it, I hear you describing sort of a joy in the physicality of discovering things or wondering about things. Do you see that similarity, you know, across these two very different types of books that you've written?
Yes, I do. And I've never understood the notion that art should bring you down or rub your nose in how awful everything is. I mean, we all have limited time. Shouldn't a book give you a few reasons for why life is worth living?
Hmm. Is that still, you know, a driving ethos in literature or art? That if something isn't serious or if something doesn't depress you, then it's not artful.
Well, it keeps popping up. In the subgenre of writing about sex, there's a strange thing in which a book that is just plain dirty is not okay unless it's dark. I always felt it's easier to write about the terrible things. It's easier to make a reader go, oh God, that's so awful. Oh my God, how terrible. Than it is to make a reader say what you say when you read a really good, say, a good lyric poem, a poem by Elizabeth Bishop about the sandpiper or something, when she's just taking a bird on a beach and she's saying, look at this thing. This bird is behaving in a beautiful way, and if you read my poem, you will understand more about how sandpipers move, and you will feel better about beaches. That's actually harder to do.
Mm-hmm. This is the third book where sex was the theme. I mean, we mentioned the other two, Fermata and Vox. After this third book, I mean, have you exhausted your desire or capacity to write about human sexuality?
I thought I had with the end of the second book, because I really put everything I had. The Vox was a kind of seduction and friendly. It was a love story. The Fermata was a sneakier book. I thought I had done it. But then years go by, you know, and it turns out that there's more to be done. So yes, I think at this point, I am completely sexed out.
Well, there's a question I want to ask you, but forgive me in advance.
All your questions are good.
Well, I believe you're in your mid-50s right now, 54 years old?
Yeah, so when I wrote Vox, I was 33 or something, you know, so I was kind of this mid-30s guy, and the Fermata was somewhere around 34, 35. And it's very different to write a sex book when you're in your 30s than when you're in your 50s, because, you know, I am on sort of the downslope of whatever. And but I don't know. I still feel essentially in some ways, you know, 14 years old. So I just feel now, I guess, more relaxed about just submitting to whatever crazy, horny, nutty, mad thing goes through my head. Just get it out there and see, you know. And then, of course, you have to rewrite and fiddle with it. But it's in some ways kind of liberating to be in my 50s.
Well, you anticipated my question there, because I was wondering if at all the sort of specter of declining virility, if it exists, you know, how much that has sort of informed your writing about sex over the years. But it sounds, you know, as you're saying, more than anything, it's freed you.
I'm sure that the specter of declining virility, what a terrifying phrase.
Well, that's why I wanted to say it was a specter, that it wasn't, yeah. It's not necessarily a fact.
Yeah. I mean, when you get in your 50s, you don't have quite the kind of hormone drip that you have in your 20s. But for some reason, the brain just keeps going. I mean, it's unstoppable. I think I was always a little bit over-hormoned. And in some ways, that gets in the way of writing. I wrote dirty things back in my 20s. And I would all I'd have to write is three sentences. All I had to write was, she looked, or he walked, and knowing that I was about to write a sex scene, I was over the edge. So in some ways, maybe the calming down of my mind is actually helpful.
Well, Nicholson Baker, what's next for you?
Oh, I'm putting together a book of essays, and then I want to write another book, maybe with more suspense. I don't know. And certainly not with less sex. Less sex. I'm done with that for the time being.
Well, Nicholson Baker's new book is House of Holes. Thank you so much for speaking with us. It's been such a pleasure talking with you.
Oh, gosh. Thank you for having me on the show.
Tomorrow on Radio Boston, Laurie Anderson has been pushing the technological boundaries of art, pop music, and storytelling for decades. Now she brings her latest multimedia stage show, Delusion, to Boston.
To do Delusion 20 years ago, I would have needed like 12 large trucks. Now it's 12 Pelican cases, like photo cases.
That's Laurie Anderson tomorrow on Radio Boston.
Radio Boston is a production of WBUR with regular contributions from theangle@boston.com. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.
Oh, Superman.